As we get near the end of summer, we are going to wrap up our summers in Heidelberg looking at Lord's Day 10. And as we seek God's will for our lives this morning, will you join me as we responsibly recite Lord's Day 10 this morning? What do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds is with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. How does this knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Isaiah 46, beginning in verse 3 and then jumping down to verse 8. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Jumping down to verse 8. Remember this, keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things of long ago. I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is no one or none like me. I made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are now far from my righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. I and my salvation will not be delayed. I grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. Amen. Says God's word. Will you pray with me? Father, open our hearts and minds to receive all that you'd have for us. Lord, meet us in this place. Amen. As we dissect your word and the tools that help us to understand it, I just pray that you would change us. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I've been thinking a lot about providence lately. We think about the world around us with its economy grinding to, at the very least, a slow and even stopping at some places. Many people we know being out of work, our family lives, among other things, coming to a bit of a halt, at least for a while, if not a turtle's crawl. It's got me thinking, what and why would God want this? And how does God have all of this under control? And if he does, and what in the world is he doing? And yet, as I wrestle with these questions, even after thinking all of this, and knowing, of course, I don't have all the answers, still, thinking about God's providence brings me comfort. Amen. It is without a doubt one of the most interesting, in my opinion, and even the most one of the most controversial theological topics out there, that is the doctrine of God's providence. I recall one person speaking about Lord's Day 10, the Lord's Day we are looking at today. I remember them saying that it was one of their most favorite Lord's Days. But then, in the same conversation, another person said it's a teaching that binds you up in great comfort or can drive you from the faith as well. Well, the reason for that is because wrapped up into the idea of providence is the question of where our free will fits into the equation, and how does God use instances of evil as part of his plan? How does he shape them, mold them for his good? Now, surprisingly, we are not going to answer all these questions this morning. This is something that people have been wrestling with for thousands of years, and so we, of course, can't expect to have an answer for all these things in one setting. However, I want to focus on providence and how the Catechism relates to it, as we see in Lord's Day 10, as well as in our text this morning from Isaiah 46. Through this, I think as we discern it, we learn how God upholds the world and all that's in it in his hand. I think it shows us, of course, how he rules it mercifully and maintains control over it. And I think it shows us why then it benefits us that he does this as his creatures and his children. Now, first, though, before we dig too deep into this, I want to establish what providence means. Let's define this for just a second. As you break the word providence down, it comes from the root word provide. Now, in relationship to God, we would say God will provide, or rather, God is the provider. In a broad sense, then, providence is another way to speak of God's sovereignty. Except in providence, we say it's his sovereignty with action. And when we say God is sovereign, we of course mean that he rules and reigns and controls all things. Providence, simply put, is God's sovereign control and rule over all things and his orchestration of it. God's sovereign control and rule over all things and his orchestration of it. So history, salvation, the rotation of the planets, the crawling of a tiny ant, even times of prosperity, times of poverty, even pandemics. God knows it, and he has providentially orchestrated it all. And we see this illustrated in our text this morning. Take a look at verse 10 in Isaiah 46. It says this, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. We read a text like this in our honest moments. As you consider God as a God who knows the end from the beginning, and what is to come, we hear him say something like, his purpose will stand. And when we read something like this, this is a truth, if we're honest, that makes us quite uncomfortable. Why? Well, probably for many reasons, quite frankly, but most of those reasons center on control. The truth of God's providence is a firm reminder that you, that me, that none of us, quite frankly, are ultimately in control. We are just not. This is an idea that we see throughout the scriptures as well as we read them. Proverbs 16 reminds us, it says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Even more clearly, jump down Proverbs 16:9. It says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." In other words, you can put all of the plans in motion and all the structure in place that you would like, but ultimately God is in control and he will establish your steps. Now, does that mean that we should kind of obfuscate our responsibility and not make plans or anything of that sort? Of course not. Of course not. By God's providence, he interacts with this world through means. Very often, those means are people. They're you. They're me. They're all of us as we go about our business, trying to live our lives, trying to live out the plans that we have made. God is working within them and through them to engage the world around us. And ultimately, yes, he is the one who is in control. We have to keep that in mind, though. God is not your co-pilot, as a famous bumper sticker once said. God is steering the ship. And as our text tells us, his purpose will stand, and he will do all that he pleases. I don't know about you, but as I think about this, I can't help but look at my life sometimes and think to myself, man, I wish this wouldn't have happened, or I wish I would have taken advantage of some opportunity that was before me in the past. I can't help but to reflect and think those sorts of things. When I think of my life and I look back in particular, a big thing for me is that in hindsight, I wish I wouldn't have messed around and I would have come to faith sooner in my life. Got myself together and enrolled in seminary at a younger age. These are one of these regrets, if you will, that I often have. If that were the case, I mean, I'd be sitting here with more experience, more full-time ministry under my belt, and who knows what else would have happened for me. Maybe I'd have been financially stabler much sooner in my life. Who knows? But I know in God's providence, he has led me through these experiences and used them to develop my character, to shape me as a person. And of course, these experiences, these things helped me in the long run, in ministry and in life. And while I might kick myself personally, God ultimately was in control even of my circumstances when I was running from him, and he used it for his glory and ultimately my good. Now the tough part comes when we consider the difficult times of our lives, the hardships that we may face. How do those fit into this picture, this idea of God's providence? Or do they at all? How are we to understand that? I think more often than not always, but I think more often than not, when we go through a rough spots, we often come out on the other side and think that it shaped us and changed us in ways that we can often be grateful for. Even if you wouldn't wish the worst, this experience that you'd gone through on your worst enemy. I think, once again, about my life. For me, it was when Cassie and I went through an incredibly rough time in our marriage, with my world crashing in on me. God use those moments to draw me closer to himself, to learn to love his word, and without a doubt, through those experiences, he changed me. Now, I say all this not to trivialize any sort of difficulty experiences that you might be going through or difficulties that you have experienced. I can't imagine the pain of losing a spouse, losing a child, going through cancer treatments, among other things. These are hard. When things are hard and life is rough, it may be next to impossible to understand that these things come to us from God's hand, from God's providence, and then recognize that in some way, shape, or form, he will use them ultimately for his glory and our good. But the truth of the scripture makes it clear, though, that this is what God does. And it's why at the end of question and answer 27, the catechism says, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. John Piper, in his book on providence, points at this phrase in the catechism as a massive, that it has massive implications about the design of God's governing of all things. Because, as Piper continues, he says, it implies that everything in the universe is governed in the view of the good of God's children. Amen. So that means whether it's a good moment, an ill-fated moment, positive, negative, whether we can see it or understand it or not, God's providential design is shaped for our good and his glory. Now, in that, though, we have the choice to engage it in seeing our lives as a means through which he is doing something to engage the world around us, or we can choose to ignore that truth and refuse to see God's hand, very often to our detriment. This is evident throughout the scriptures, though. One of the first instances that we see it that comes to my mind is the story of Joseph. At the end of the book of Genesis, of course, Joseph is betrayed, sold into slavery by his brothers. And despite that, he achieves high honor in the household that he is enslaved in. And then tragedy strikes again. He is falsely accused of misconduct and thrown into prison. Even there, though, he achieves high honor. Eventually, after interpreting some dreams in jail, he goes before the Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. A dream that would, of course, warn of a coming famine and the near destruction of Egypt if they did not prepare. Joseph, after that, becomes second in command and helps the nation prepare for this coming famine. And this has implications beyond which he could have ever imagined, allowing him to eventually save his family as they come asking for food during their difficult times as well. And what's that famous line? Think about this. What's that famous line that Joseph says in light of everything that happens to him, in light of all that his brothers did? He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." In all of Scripture, though, nowhere is this laid out more evident for us than with our Lord Jesus Christ. God worked providentially through his betrayal by a friend, to hand him over to a corrupt religious order, who would then hand him over to a corrupt government. Through the evil sham of a trial, Jesus was delivered to be crucified amongst criminals, tormented, though he had done nothing wrong, abandoned and forsaken, though he did not deserve it. And yet, Isaiah tells us it was the will of the Lord to crush him. The difficult and hard teaching of God's providence tells you that even though you may face evil and hardships in life, in God's providence, he will ultimately turn it up for your good and his glory. So how is this knowledge, though, meant to help you now? Or if not now, when times get difficult, when times get hard? This is one of the moments when the language of the catechism is so comforting to us as God's people. Answer 28 says, we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future we can have good confidence in our faith, in our faithful God and Father, that nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will they can neither move nor be moved. Obviously, I don't know the specifics of each and every one of us here or watching online situation. I don't know how life is hitting you at this moment specifically, or how it might hit you, of course, in the days ahead. But I know how each and every one of us tend to get. In the normal routines of life, you have a tendency to depend more on yourself rather than the community around you. You tend to think of your faith once a week rather than Monday through Saturday. You tend to think of God as an accessory rather than the one whom your life should be centered on and lived for. So what if this pandemic or whatever other challenges you might be facing, God, what if this is in that challenge, God is calling you to depend on him more and open up more areas of your life to his rule? What if he's been calling you to step out of that stubbornness and let people do things for you, engage you, bring you things so that you can build and bind yourself to a community? Amen. What if he's been using this as an opportunity to get you to open up and hear his voice? To recognize that he is, that God is worthy of your attention each and every day of the week, not just once you step into a church building or start getting ready on a Sunday morning. In some senses, as far as the pandemic goes, for some of you, maybe it's been a gift for you, for all of us at times. It has been an opportunity to slow down, to examine our lives, and to see where you can lean on God through Jesus in all of your life. And as we do that, we can rest in the promise that God's providence tells us that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And so my challenge to you is not to waste this pandemic or whatever challenge you might be facing. Heck, don't waste the good times that you might be in as well, the times of plenty, because all of these things come to us from the hand of God through his providential plan for you and for your life. Lean into God's providence. Recognize that he is in control, even if things at times seem out of control. He is doing something. The promise of the gospel is that when we are called according to God's purpose, good will come eventually. In fact, ultimate good has already came to you if you have trusted in Jesus. You have received eternal life that began the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so even if things remain hard this side of heaven, my friends, if you trust in Christ, you have an eternal glory waiting for you. And that should ground you and always bring you joy. Article 13 of the Belgic Confession refers to providence as an unspeakable comfort for those who believe. It refers to it this way because it reminds us that God watches over us with his fatherly care, keeping all creatures under his control so that not one of the hairs on our heads can fall to the ground without the will of our Father. If we trust in God's good character displayed most clearly through the person and work of Jesus Christ, we can know then that no matter what comes our way, whether it's good, whether it's bad, we are in the hands of a loving God and Father. And so, friends, as you consider that, I pray that God's providence will give you an unspeakable comfort, no matter what you are facing, and no matter what you will face in the future. Let's pray. Father, you are a God of grace. You are a God of providence. The truth of Jeremiah 29 hangs large. You know the plans for us. And ultimately, they are plans to prosper as we trust in you, because even if this life remains difficult, a crown of glory waits for us. And so thank you for your grace. Thank you for the salvation that you give through your Son, Jesus. You have providentially chosen us before the foundation of the world. And we are humbled and willing to do your will because of it. In the name of Jesus, amen.